RadioArchives.com presents The Phantom Detective Magazine from July 1947. Masterpiece of Murder. The 142nd Adventure of the Phantom Detective. Nemesis of Crime by Robert Wallace. Read by Milton Bagby. Desperate for a purpose in life, millionaire playboy Richard Curtis Van Lone dedicates himself to a one-man campaign to rid the nation of organized crime and big-time racketeers. Reborn from the ashes of war, Van Lone returns to find his home in the stranglehold of gangsters and murderers. Donning a domino mask and teaching himself deduction and the art of disguise, he takes on crime single-handedly as the mysterious Phantom Detective. His true identity known only by one person, Van Lone swings his way into mystery, a specially made platinum badge shaped like a domino mask his business card. This master of disguise, deduction, and psychology delivers his own unique brand of law and order to the underworld as the Phantom Detective. And now, the Phantom Detective's pulse-pounding mystery adventure, Masterpiece of Murder. Chapter 1. Melody of Death. The old-fashioned clock on the wall of the dusty steamship office said it was 5:10. At the big flat-top desk near the window overlooking the long shed of the pier outside and the busy Hudson River beyond, blond young John Matling was just completing his day's work. Stacking the mass of papers before him, he pushed back in his swivel chair. His eyes were tired and strained. He rubbed his hands over them. For 3 hours, he had been deep in work that was the culmination of more than a month's effort. Now, as soon as the freighter Star of Brazil reached the pier outside, the last thing he needed to complete his long task would be available. Young Matling relaxed in his chair. He thought about his father, Martin Matling, and drew a deep, quick breath. John and his father operated the Coastwise line of freighters, which had been founded by his great-grandfather, Cyrus Matling, a famous pioneer in the shipping industry. But today's ships with the famous blue-banded stacks, the trademark of Coastwise, were a far cry from the windjammer Mary Matling, which old Cyrus had skippered around the seven seas. That had been in an era more colorful, but much less complicated, at least in some respects, than that in which his great-grandson labored. Mementos of those early days were all about the dusty office, the binnacle light from the Mary Matling, the log of an early sailing ship under glass, its pages yellowed by time. On the wall opposite young Matling's desk hung one of the ancient trade route charts, facing the map of today, red-lined to mark the courses and ports now traveled by coastwise freighters. The ports indicated were all South American. Coastwise was the recognized leader in Pan-American shipping, and business since the end of the war had been steadily increasing. But with mounting prosperity, something else had come to the line, something that was more responsible for Martin Matling's worry and apprehension, and also for the papers heaped on the desk in front of his son John. Grimly, John Matling's eyes went back to them. It seemed unbelievable, too fantastic to be credited, but he knew that evil forces were at work in an attempt to tear down all that it had taken generations to build. Secret, sinister forces moving with stealthy threat under the dark cover of mystery. An invisible enemy waging criminal warfare against Coastwise and the last two members of the Matling family. Young Matling started to gather the papers together, his eyes on a radio flash, which was propped up against his desk calendar. That flash was from old Captain Olaf Svensson, master of the Star of Brazil, now on the high seas. The freighter was off Hatteras. It was a matter of hours before she would dock. Then Svensson would give him the vital information needed to complete the documentary facts in the typewritten pages before him.